when you had nothing to offer. You stood on the other side of the void of salvation, and you knew that there was nothing that you had to offer for the goodness that I would show through salvation. All you could do was accept my righteousness traded off for your unrighteousness. Why would you cross the void and then begin to pick up the journey within yourself? This is grace, saith the Spirit of grace. This grace that begun your journey must also manifest and mature you through your walk in me, saith the Spirit of grace. Lay down the burden. Lay down the burden of perfecting yourself and enter in through my grace. You have learned the definition thereof is not a permission to sin, but rather it's a strength to be made strong in the midst of your weakness. But so much of the time, my body, my sons and daughters, are motivated from a sense of legalism and also from a sense that God, your Father, is angry or distrusting. Pick up that burden which is yours, but I describe that as easy and light. My burden is easy and light. My burden comes out of a place of already solidified pleasure, saith the Spirit of grace. Even when the worst possible sins are committed, the moment of repentance supplies to you the fullness of the acclamation of my pleasure. Once again, saith the Spirit of grace. There is no penance in me. There is no working yourself back to a place of affirmation in which then, once again, I'll pat you on the back. These things are done among men. That's the separation between me and earthly fathers. Oftentimes, earthly fathers are used as analogy to teach the goodness of God. And true earthly fathers are a trophy in this life. But there are things in the Spirit that will separate me forever from even earthly fathers, in which there can be no comparable, in which there can be no earthly example, in which no analogy can be given. For all earthly fathers have something in them that lack that place of comparison. But my affirmation to you is immediate. My pleasure to you is immediate. The moment that you seek my face, I say, here am I, saith the Spirit of grace. So enter in these days. Be affirmed by my presence. Lift up your head. Speak to the weakness. Engage in my presence. And you'll find that my pleasure, that which the burden of sin when it was lifted, because you knew that I did something you could not do, why now try to do something that you cannot do? Lean upon me, saith the Spirit of grace. To the fathers, mothers, young men, young women, children, all in between, these words apply, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Glory.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. Father, we worship you and glorify you. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. Now you can turn with me to Joshua chapter 10 and get ready, because we're going to read a few verses there in just a moment. But this is, don't get involved in Joshua chapter 10. You can turn there if you'd like to, and then just put a marker in it, close it, and look up and follow along with me for just a little bit. This morning we're going to talk about unpopular kings. For the last several weeks on Sundays, we've been talking about kings, and the kings that we've been talking about is we've been portraying those as strongholds in people's lives. Now, this is a divergent, it's away from, in a certain sense, satanic things, as in satanic spirits being strongholds. There is a spiritual warfare in the heavenlies, as in described by Ephesians chapter 6, and devils do inhabit people, and devils do, if they can, control situations, and devils do create atmospheres and all those kinds of things. There's a good, wonderful atmosphere in here this morning, and that is, you can feel it. The world would call it electricity. The New Age would call it, energy and all that kind of junk, but it's the Holy Ghost. Please, every single one of you, every single one of you, and all you elders, understand this. You're responsible when you come in here to help create this atmosphere. I don't care how you feel. I do care how you feel. I love every single one of you, but every single one of you are called to be engagers and move the process along. You're to love your brother more than you love yourself. And if you sit here and say, I don't feel good, I'm just gonna vegetate for the day, praise God that you're here, but you've been called to something far more than that. We need no veggies in here, okay? Let the veggies be for the weak and the unbelieving and those who don't know, but all the rest of you are contributors. Praise God. Well, how can I be a contributor? You, by an expectation. Move the service along with your expectation. Move the service along with your amens. Move the service along with underneath your breath, praying in tongues and going forward in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not me up here alone preaching, people. It's you back there preaching with us. And we've got a world to save. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I believe you are too. Praise God. Revival is an atmosphere. It really is. And we help create that atmosphere. It doesn't just come sovereignly. So we've been teaching out of Joshua 10. For those of you that may have not been able to follow along, present tense, just a real brief synopsis. We're not going to read all the verses here, but Joshua begins to, he goes into battle. He conquers these nations. First of all, the city of Jericho, then Ai, and then he gets into this real big skirmish. The next one was with five kings representing, we use those as representing strongholds in people's lives. And what I started to say a few moments ago is we're not teaching about devils this morning. We're talking about something that is much more persuasive in people's lives than devils, and that's their own strongholds in their minds, okay? Devils really can't get more over to you, own you, than what the catalyst are inside of you to promote whatever they want to promote. Do you understand that? Oh, say it again. In other words, unless you have handles for them to twist, there's not a whole lot that they can get done with you. You can feel their pressure. You can feel a demonic spirit's pressure even when you're squeaky clean. That's not meaning that there's something wrong just because they come and visit you. But if they can put you out of sorts, if they can get you in attitude or temper tantrum or in depression, then they are twisting something that needs to be pulled out of there. And so the church today is not having revival, not because of devils per se, yes, but they are puppeteers. The puppets are the church with all the stickies, the little stickies sticking out of them. And what we want to do is we want to eliminate as many stickies, get them all out, get free, and then we are no good to the devil. Amen. And we're all good to God. Praise the Lord. So all these kings, we've over the last several weeks, we've done a lot to lay the groundwork to kind of help people settle in to not witch hunts, but to just absolutely let the Holy Spirit bring to your mind and your heart the things that need to be demoralized, brought to nothing, to a nothingness. Now, these five kings that were caught in a battle were put in a cave. We could read it. And they were put off to the end of the day to be dealt with by Joshua and all his army. What we had several times is a group of actors that came up here. And as we read this story here, is that Joshua brings his generals up front and says, look, I'm going to make a living example of these five kings. He brings them out of the cave. He tells his generals, Joshua, no, but his generals, he says, you put your foot upon their necks. And we did that as an example in front of the camera. And we said, look, this is what Joshua did. And then Joshua said this. He said, this is going to be an example for you for the rest of your life, or for us going into the promised land. And if you read the next chapter, a couple of chapters, which we really not had time to do, is there are multitudes of kings that they fight against. And these are, I did a study on a few weeks ago, one of their next invasions that they take place, and they estimated, and that, you know, how they go back and get all this, there's historians that pull up as much history as they possibly can from writings of Old Testament and in secular people that were contemporaries at that particular time and wrote history. And these were big, big battles. I mean, in the next few chapters it talks about there were chariots and horsemen that were like the sands of the sea or something like that. And they estimated some of those battles to be like up in the 300,000 range of marching soldiers. That's a lot of foot soldiers. That's a lot of people to be killed, and to be killed over several hours' time in a extended battle. So these aren't 10 guys going against 10 guys. These are mega battles. The armies were bigger back then. They were much bigger than they are now because technology pulls army size down. But you're talking about 300,000 and 400,000 marching men army in some of those excursions and things that took place. But anyway, Joshua said, put your foot upon these kings' necks. They're not dead yet. We're gonna kill them. We're going to strike them, but we're going to kill them all the graveyard dead right in front of you. I mean, dead, dead. And this is an example for all of these kings. In the next chapter, the chapter over, there's like 31. And if we read the rest of 10 one day, one of the past Sundays, and as we read it, we noted that as he got done with these, that they went after the remnants, all the people that scattered into those cities, into those strongholds, and every single one of the king of Lachish, the king of Jerusalem, on and on and on, that they went into those places and they destroyed. Doesn't sound good. I know it sounds awful. We squirm when we think about it, and it. This is Old Testament. Thank God it's Old Testament. And Old Testament, it really did happen, but it was a type and shadow of the future church. They killed everything. Men, women, children, they killed everything that breathed. There was nothing left. Nothing left. And it is a picture of us today as the church, that as we go forward, that has been given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit through the new nature. See, here, we're good to go right from the get-go. I don't care how much you pray in tongues. I do. I wish you'd pray in tongues all the time. I don't care if you are filled with the Spirit. I do. I wish you were filled with the Spirit. But if you're not filled, and if you don't pray, you have the innate inside of you ability through the new nature, through the life of the born-again spirit, to live free from sin. Amen. From the get-go. For the rest of your life, you could live. Does that happen? No, not usually. But it's possible. Then you add on the accentuation of the Holy Ghost, which is power. Your new nature can't raise anybody from the dead. It can't get anybody sick that's healed. But it is the housing for the Holy Ghost. It is the housing in which the Holy Ghost, listen, this is really good. John says, if any man has God, if he's born again, 1 John, then God's in there. Okay, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm not quoting. How is he in there? He is in there. God is in there. He's in the Baptist. He's in the Methodist. He's in those ones that have not yet been filled. God is in there, but he's in there in this, in per se. That's the best way I can say it. He really is in there. His spirit is in there, but his spirit as being the spirit that is of God. It is the spirit that has come from God, which once it goes into you and you're dead, then it totally recreates. That's you become born again. It totally becomes, there's not a cell of your old spirit left in there. It's just totally recreated by the Spirit of God. But that Spirit of God, in this sense of, is life from the Father in you. That happened to you, your human spirit. It's not deity. It's your human spirit with the life of God. Now he's created a house in there. He's like, I stepped in, created a house. Oh, you look good. And I don't know how to say this. It's like he steps in, builds it. He's in there because life's in there now. But the baptism is when the Holy Ghost steps in and fills that house up, which he's created. Isn't that wonderful? He creates something, and he's like, it's perfect. It can live without sin for the rest of its life. It can't raise the dead. It can't know anything. There's no gifts in there like, the new nature has no word of knowledge, word of wisdom, any of that. But it's perfect in the sense of the word. It has all the law in it as far as in keeping the Ten Commandments. Doesn't have to commit adultery, doesn't have to steal, doesn't have to lie, whatever. But he doesn't turn and walk away. He steps right back in and says, now would you like the power to go lay hands on the sick and see them recover? We got a good deal going on here. It's a really good deal, awesome deal. So these five kings are executed in front of these guys. And then last week was pretty awesome because as we read here, and I think it may capture where we were at last week. Let's just look at verse 24. We won't go through all of those verses. And it came to pass in verse 24, that when Joshua had brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the war which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong, good courage, for thus shall the Lord do unto all your enemies whom you fight. And afterwards Joshua smote them and slew them. Remember that lesson, smote and slew? He didn't just stick them with a sword. He killed them all the way graveyard dead. And then hang them on five trees. That is the social media of the day. In front of all the camp, he hung them on five trees. And they were hanging upon the trees until evening. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, they took them down off the trees and cast them into the caves wherein they had been hid, and laid as stones upon the cave's mouth, which remain unto this day. And that day Joshua took Makeda and smote it. Okay, that's far enough on that. One of the major parts of this that I really, really do love, and we didn't cover in this, but we read Gary Carpenter's brief lesson that the Holy Spirit gave him after he was listening to some of these messages, and I just love this part because it's so indicative of us where we live now. You remember in this story here is that when Joshua started fighting these guys and his army started fighting them, and I mean like he's got, you know, thousands, tens of thousands, and I mean there's sword fighting going on everywhere, and it's close in encounters. I mean you looked eye to eye with the person that you were actually killing, which is pretty gruesome. But anyway, the Bible says this, that the Lord cast down hailstones from heaven, and there were more killed that day from the hailstones from heaven than actually that was, you know, killed with a sword. Now that's amazing. It's comical in a certain sense, but it's not comical because, I mean, here you are thinking like, I'm getting away, and all of a sudden I'm out of here, and boom, something hits you in the head. I mean, God's throwing rocks from heaven. But the neat part of that is this. That's so exciting. Here's the exciting part. The exciting part is this, is the collaborating scripture with that in the New Testament is Romans 8:26. Once you begin to engage the Holy Spirit, four-letter word, also, he also maketh intercession for you with groanings. Hallelujah. With words that, listen, do you know the value? Please, people, I'm going to get down on one knee. Do you know the value of praying in tongues? Your prayers can be so selfish in and of themselves. They can be so self-centered. They can be all about you, and you start telling God. I hear people pray sometimes, and they start telling God what he already knows. Don't pray, tell God what he already knows. He already knows it. And if you're a real word person, you can pray pretty much according to the word. Okay, if you're a real word person, but a lot of people don't know the word enough to even... They shouldn't even be praying, hardly, except in the Holy Ghost. You can't mess up the Holy Ghost. The Bible says he makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. He that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints. That's you, me, and all of us, according to the will of God. When you're praying in tongues, you say, did you think about that? What you just did? Did you pray about it first or whatever? No, you know what? I forgot about praying about it, but I've been praying like crazy in tongues every day, and I'll bet you the Holy Ghost caught it. I bet you the Holy Ghost prayed it out. What'd you say? I don't know, but the Bible says this: that he that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. That little bit, now there are other tongues where the Holy Spirit will slip you in and you'll make intercession, but 99% of all that you do is like you're praying. And you cannot, I can't find any place in Scripture where you can deliberately make that exchange of yourself. Like you say, okay, let's just all sit here and just pray for, you know, Callie Pearl in tongues. We can't do that. Now we can pray, and we'll start praying in tongues. That'll build us up. And then what we do pray in with our understanding will be energized. The Bible says that we can build up our most holy faith, Jude, praying in the Holy Ghost. What you can do that, you sit and pray in the Holy Ghost and you kind of get your most holy faith built up, and then you pray, but to deliberately sit. So I'm getting off into something, but somebody needed that, okay? You can't mess it up. Pray when you're mad, you're sad, you're glad, you're depressed, you just cussed, you know, you hate somebody, sit there. Why? Well, Pastor, that's sacrilegious. No, your anger's in another realm. Your fear, your perversion, what you just looked at, that's in another realm. That's in the realm of the soul. Now, I'm not justifying it, but the realm of the Spirit is the Holy Ghost. And if you stay in that realm of the Spirit, he'll jump over there and kick that in the... Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So the Holy Spirit will throw rocks also if you start. Okay? But you got to start. You stay bound all your life. I spoke in tongues once. Well, that's good. How much do you do it now? Okay? And see, if you knew what he was praying for, you'd be real selfish about it. Because he prays for your college career. He prays for your future mate. He prays for, glory to God, he prays for all of that. He prays for your entire life. He's not just praying like what we think is religious. He goes to the bedrock. Why do you know this? Because he says that he edifies, meaning he brings into fruition the entirety of a person's life. It is the word edifice, and the word edifice means a building in which is put, you know, is in which is built. Your life is your building. So that's your job, your kids, your wife, your family, your everything. If you knew how much he'd help you, you'd selfishly pray in tongues. Hallelujah. Dave used to say you could pay your kids to pray in tongues and it would work. Because it's a divorce, you're in one, even though they're selfishly taking it, eventually they may say, I don't want it anymore.
but I don't know how long that would take. I mean, it'd take a while. I wish somebody pay me to pray in tongues. Yeah. All right. Glory be to God. Okay. So beating dead. Last week, we talked about beating dead kings. And I beat the kings with the broom up here until I got myself out of breath. And that was all about beating kings that we said this, beating dead kings does not justify the hidden kings in your life that are still alive. Do you understand that? Why do you say that? Because sometimes if you're negligent, you got to watch this, and I'm not after anybody in this room. I'm just saying in general, it could be myself included. The kings that are subdued, you'll ride so high on those kings that you'll have your favorite scriptures, your talking points. When you get in that person's presence, they'll give you their scriptures and they'll give you their talking points, and they'll go after kings in other people's lives. Boy, they'll tell you how bad that particular problem is, and they'll have like five verses. They're not too spiffy on other verses, but they got like 5 or 10 verses they can just rattle off on somebody else's problem. And you know what it does? Kind of gives you an inertia, kind of a high, like you're free in that area and you can see where other people's need to improve. But only what it does is, it is a mirage. It is a sedative of sort to make you feel good about your kings that have not yet been crucified in your own life. They're there. Because I know they're there here. They got to die. Hallelujah. And for any of you that are like, when I say that, sometimes people's like, where's he going? What does he mean? Now, when I say they're there, because I want you to understand, I'm not talking about that that's the only woman in my life, and that's the only woman I think about, and that's the only, you know, and I reel in anything else that even comes close. And I'm not into perversion, and I'm not into that, but no matter how far you go, there's kings there. There's another level of how much do you love people. If people can still kind of, if they can still kind of get to you, if they can still kind of twist your, you know, push your button, there's a king there. I want every king crucified in my life. I want every king crucified. Now, he hung all these kings out to dry. And there were 5 trees. And that was a social media. They're dead. And we said last week, what if somebody would have just beat, you know, see an old widow lady out there with a broom, just beating the you know what, out of those. I told you. What are you doing, ma'am? This king of lust that are among the men of Israel, this is the worst king of all. Well, it is a bad one, ma'am. I see that you're free from that, aren't you? Because you're talking about it a whole lot. Yes, I'm free from it. This king over here of a love of money. Yeah, ma'am, you're poor, aren't you? Yes, I am. But anybody that has anything is a dirty, down scoundrel. You get the picture, I hope. Okay, so we're you saw last week. I hope, go back, watch. It's on TV now, or it's on YouTube, yes. It will be on TV. Hey, by the way, Candy's testimony of her healing of her back is on there. I thought the Holy Spirit helped her to do really good. Amen. Okay, so focusing on others, that was the lesson last week. Remember, we also went to a place where Jesus talked about, and I'm using a paraphrase, choking, gagging. He says, you strain at gnats and swallow camels. Boy, could Jesus paint pictures or what? Gag, or he said you strain. Strain is gagging. You gag. Excuse that. Some of you are like, that makes me sick, you doing it. But that's what we do a lot of times. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't believe they've got that in your life. Really? Okay. can we, would it, since you can't sit in the church service with them, would it be all right if we just took a, could God put, take a big, a jumbotron like they have at Dallas Stadium and just show your secret life? See, and show your secret thoughts? I can't take those people. I can't even, when I look up and worship, they just, they got quiet in here. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we even went to Galatians 6:4, and we're not going to go there, but it talked about rejoicing in yourself and not someone else. And I said, do we know what that means? And maybe some of you did, but it means stop trying to perfect other people. Don't make other people your project. Do you know some people get a real glory? We are supposed to disciple people, but our discipling people should not be a project to elevate ourselves when we've got kings in our cave that we don't want killed. And don't kill that king is all one message of there are certain kings that I don't want killed. The New Testament church, all of us included, I believe you're in agreement with me, we all want every king killed. Now, you don't have to know about my kings, and I don't have to know about yours, but mighty God in heaven, please come and visit us. Kill every king. Kill every king. Let every king be destroyed in our life. Now, well, let's just talk about a little bit this morning, because we can. We got just a little bit of time to do so. Let's talk about unpopular kings, okay? Unpopular kings as in, like, I don't want to talk about that. That's not what I'm saying. But unpopular as in the unmentionable ones. The ones that, you know, because, you know, the ones that we mention a lot when we're talking about growing up in Christ and getting rid of strongholds of the flesh. You know, you can help me with this. You guys can help me. I'll think about it. We always mention, you know, first stringers. We want to mention second stringers today. First stringers are like the bad ones, like we think of as lust, perversion, you know, lying, stealing. Come on. Fornicating. Somebody else, somebody said, what? Drugs, hatred, you know, all those kinds of things. Okay, those are the popular ones. We're going to go to some, we're going to mention some, not, you know, the second stringers, the guys that are like, we don't ever get mentioned when everybody's being condemned, when all the strongholds are being condemned. Let's mention some unmentionables, okay? Hallelujah. We'll go to the second string bench here, the unmentionables. But even though they're unmentionables, I can tell you this, they're lethal. They're absolutely lethal. Some of them are so unmentionable that they're CIA operatives. They're CIA, special ops. They're stealth. They're there, but they're not there. They're there, but you don't see them. They're there, but you never recognize them because most people are trying to say, well, I just don't, the men are trying to say, I want to get lust out of my life. Yes, we'll get it out. The ladies are saying, I want to, you know, get jealousy out of my life. I want to get this, I want to get that. But these operables, I mean, these are, you know, secret operables that just lay around forever. Okay, the first one that we want to mention, and these are not kings as in that I can go to a particular verse. We will go to a few other verses as in saying the word says this, but the word does describe this in a number of different satellite scriptures. The first king that is an unmentionable that doesn't get a whole lot of recognition and sits on the second string, third string, is the king of same old. Same old. He's very, very stealth. That stronghold is very stealth. Everybody say same old. Meaning this, the same old routines, I'm going into God, but you're never able to stop the same old routines. The king of same old will keep you, the stronghold of same old will keep you from breaking routines that need to be broke and infiltrating routines in your life that need to be established. It will keep you from ever using the Word of God, or it's the Word, the same old is the Word unused. Okay? In other words, when you come in here, like I said, when you're pulling with me, I appreciate it. I have not yet got, I'm there, but I'm not there. I can preach in the most deplorable situations and just stay in a bubble. I just try to stay in that bubble, and it doesn't matter. But I still feel the effects of everybody pulling with me. That's good. I appreciate it. I appreciate when you say amen and pull with me. But here's the deal. What I'm giving you, or what Homer gives you, or what any man or woman of God gives you when you come in here, it is not to be left here. And I'm not preaching at you. But when you go home, and when you go on Monday or Tuesday, whatever you've said amen to, start trying to implement it. It's not, this is not for these walls. This is outside. And you know, I've gone to conferences. Listen, if you want to go to a conference, go to a conference. But conferences are not the things that change you. It's your everyday, day in, day out. I need to go somewhere and just, something needs to break, you know, break this thing in my life. It won't break. It won't break unless you start to do it now. Don't ever go someplace, move somewhere, go to a conference, go someplace to try to get like, I need a kick in the pants. Kick yourself in the pants now by doing what needs to be done on a mundane basis. When there's no applaud, when there's no worship team, and there's nobody just saying, you can do this, you can do it. You can do it. But same old puts you in a position where you get excited. You can get excited. And again, thank you for every amen. Thank you for everybody that supports us. That helps. But I'm not after your amens. I'm after change in you. I'm after you going home and seriously contemplating, what did I get? Did I get one thing, two things? I hope you got one or two things every service that you say, I can implement this in my life and really start doing it. It wasn't just for the moment in time. It was for a reality. I can really do this. Same old are the actions that never start. It's the same old as this. I'm going to air quote this. It's always, I'm going to start that. I'm going to start that. You know, pastor says fasting will do something for you. I'm going to start that. You know what? Same old is a kissing cousin. It's a kissing cousin to procrastination. Same old and procrastination hang out together. They're holding hands, walking down the beach. I know, we got five limbs at our church that can set you free. Really? Can you quote them? Yes. Blah, 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 blah. Wow. You put scripture in there too. You sound good. Do you do them? Oh, I don't do them. I just know them, man. I just know them, man. I don't, my God. Who gets serious enough to really go on a fast? Who really gets serious enough, you know, to get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning and really, you know, or who in the, you know what's that? I mean, no, we know them. Are you serious? We're supposed to start doing them? For God's sake, it's come to this? Wow. Same old will just like, thank you, Homer. Same old will just kind of like, I went to church. That was pretty good. Listen, we have to break those mentalities. The next one is a stealth. He's a stealth, and he's kind of like same old, but not quite. Is the king laziness. King laziness. Now, there are two types of laziness. There's a natural laziness and a spiritual laziness. And I've been guilty of both. You know, not wanting to learn something is like, really, it's a laziness of your brain. It really is. Kenny and I upgraded our phones a couple days ago, and there was an old guy in there, older than myself. But he wasn't 100 yet, so he wasn't old. But he was like a geek, man. And I was thinking, like, geeks are supposed to be kids. This guy had trained his brain. And he's like running all this stuff off to us, but he was very personal, and he was he could speak my language. But your brain's a muscle. If you don't use it, you'll get. I can't think of people's names. I can't. You don't. You know what? I read a book one time. A part of it. I forgot what it was. No, no. It was on the power of memory by Jerry Lucas and Harry Lorraine. And people never forget. You never forget. You just forget to remember. You don't forget anything. You just forget to remember. You forget to ever log it in because you're lazy. You're just lazy about the moment. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everybody love me? Now, the reason why I'm talking about natural laziness is because there's a spiritual laziness. I'll make you love me some more here. You are, myself included, you are everything that you have present tense, including your finances. Whatever you are sitting in that pew today, you are what you've made yourself. Okay? Stop being the victim and stop. We live in a victim society. And we also live in an entitlement society. Even if you have been victims of wrongdoing to you, go past that. Never stop and become entrenched in that world. At 50, 60, 70 years old, if any one of you wanted to gain more, if God put in your heart to become a millionaire or a multimillionaire or get another degree, you can do it. The only person that will keep you from it is you. And what you've got in your bank account right now is all the decisions that you made up to this point. Man, y'all, I hope you still love me. I'm just trying to tell you, you are what you've made yourself. Because that's very important going further. Because if you victimize yourself, I'm the victim. Yes, you might have been a victim. Somebody might have done you wrong. But you've got to go forward and say, look, I will never be a victim. My God is God. And I can go forward. And this is important. It's really important because of the society that we live in. We also, boy, a big part of my day, I'm going to do this. I love this. What are you kissing? The Word. I've got a standard routine. I usually start out in worship, spend a good time amount of worship, and then and praying in tongues, bring those two together. They're a combination for me. And then I'll just get into the Word, and I'll just read and 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 read. Okay, that's me. Okay, and I should be doing, doing as, you know, top of the line in here with exception to a few more, because that's my job. That's who I am. I say all that to say that. I advertise the Word real well. But listen, people over-spiritualize things when it comes to getting something done. The king of laziness will say, somebody will say, what are you doing about it? Well, I'm praying about it. Well, what else are you doing? Well, I'm just praying about it. Listen, what fields of study, if you want to get there, what fields of study are, where are you enrolled at? Who are you engaging with and talking to? Don't just pray. Do everything else necessary too. From prayer, launch out. But do everything else necessary. Well, aren't you drifting from the spiritual part of this? Absolutely not. Because here's the applicable part. If you're going to go into God, you have to burn every candle possible. And the success of that, see, Winston Churchill said this, when they were in World War II and the Germans had begun to bomb London, they'd come across the English Canal, and they were right there. and they were just desecrating London. And, you know, that's the capital city. Basically, it's like, we're doomed. And the leadership of the prime minister at that time was this. He brought hope to the people. And they said, you know, we're Nazi Germany's just crossed the channel. They're coming in. And he said, no. He got up and he just continued to tell the people, we will fight them. This was his famous speech. We will fight them on the land. We will fight them on the sea. We will fight them in the air. We will fight them, but we will never, ever give up. We'll do everything necessary. When you're going into any part of your life, if it's healing, if it's deliverance or whatever, pray, read the word, but do everything possible. Burn every candle possible to get to the next level. If you need success in your life, well, I'm praying about it. That's good. Read the word, quote the word, but go get a degree. And then it'd be good if you got a job too. I'm praying for prosperity. Oh God. Pastor, pray for me. I'm praying for prosperity. Really? I just keep praying for prosperity and all I get is job offers. Really? Whoa. Listen. Glory to God. Amen. King Laziness, he hardly ever gets an honorable mention. Are you getting anything? Well, I'm having a good time. Okay. Here's another king. Praise God. Here's another king. The king of living in the natural. King natural. Okay? Living in the natural realm with no immediate expectation of spiritual things. Yes, I said go get the degree, do that thing in the natural, but living in the natural as in not living in an awareness of there's another realm here that could interrupt this realm anytime. God, in the next 5 minutes, in the next 2 minutes, Lord, explode in this place. Do something that is not the usual. We got to live in a place of continual expectation. We believe more. We believe more when we see it than when we don't see it. Oh, come on. Can I buy an amen? Can I buy an amen? Thank you. Monty, I'll buy a vowel for $10, please. Can I buy? Yeah, thank you. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. I know that we believe it more when we see it than when we don't see it. Why? Because when I get the check or when the owie stops, there's more, oh, hallelujah! Now, if you believed it as much before, and I've really tried against my own flesh to praise God before it materializes because I feel like a sheep-eating dog even in my praise. Because when it does come in and I'm like, ooh, I'm feeling good and high fives on that and I'm giddy, that lets me know that I didn't believe it as much before as when it actually materializes. Faith rejoices and worships God with everything inside of you before the check comes in, as if it had already come in, or the pain leaves. Or the miracle takes place. Oh, glory be to God. Come on. Y'all got to help me. I know it's true. Because we got our smallest service around here. And I'm not trying to get on this. I'm not trying to be mean. But this just is true. We do, but we don't believe yet that revival's coming. We really do, but we don't. We do, but we don't. And that's probably me included to some degree. Our least popular service is Sunday night, calling the lost. It's just a blatant service of calling those things that be not as though they were. And sometimes you know, there's just, you know, there's plenty of room to, you can walk around in here because there's plenty of room in here. It's not that it's just a boring service. It's just a blatantly, we can't see this yet. I mean, who's seeing the blind see, the lame walk, deaf hear, dumb speak, dead are raised, all that stuff. If it were happening, this place would be full. But we got to act like it's happening before it happens for it to happen. That's it. We got to act like it. And well, I just believed it all the time. I believed it all the time. Well, you did. No, you didn't. You old lying thing, you. You didn't believe it. You jumped on the horse when you saw it. When you saw it explode, you got happy as could be, as a pistol, when you saw it begin to happen. Well, I believed it all the time. Well, no, you didn't. None of us really do. It's not yet bone of our bone or flesh of our flesh yet, spiritually speaking. Because if it was, we'd just stand up in here and just act the silly part. Act just pure old silly that it was happening before it ever got here. Glory be to God. Amen. Let me try to finish this up. I'd like for us to... Well, let's do this. You need a break from sitting anyhow. Let me read this to you. Stand up for a moment. No, you're not leaving. No, you're not. Let me read this to you. Steve said, not yet. All right. Psalms 149 says this. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the king of children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hands to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor hath all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands and praise God for the revival that is present tense? Father, we worship you. We glorify you. We praise you that the blind see and the lame walk. We worship you, Jesus. We praise and magnify you with all of our heart. We praise you, Jesus. You did it, God. You did it, God. Oh, I don't know how you did it exactly, but you did it, God. You brought it into our midst, and we praise you, and we magnify you. We glorify you, Jesus. Oh, you went beyond all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Now sit down. Hallelujah. Matthew 13. We're going to just hit one more king, and then we'll be done. Matthew 13. And then we're going to look at verse. We're going to look at the king of familiarity. Familiarity. We're going to look at two places, Matthew 13 and then Mark 6. Now look at Matthew 13 and way over into the chapter, verse 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed. And when he had come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, inasmuch as they were astonished at what he said and said. And they said this, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James, and that's Joseph Jr. there, and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then has this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their, what? Unbelief. And then go over to Mark, because he says it a little different. Mark, the 6th chapter, if I didn't tell you. And in verse 1, it says, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, and the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joses, and Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended in him. And Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, except or save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folks and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages and teaching. Jesus marveled at their unbelief. Now here's this king. We're going to finish with this king of familiarity. This happened in Jesus' ministry. He went back to where he was raised at, and they said, you know, I've had him do carpenter work for me. He's grown up in our midst. I know him. And even though he didn't have faults, just because they knew him. See, every church that you're not at, that's the greatest place in the world. The preachers that you don't yet know, and let me pull that off, because this is not for me. This is for all of us. I'm not trying to be on a pedestal here or a bandwagon. I'm not preaching. I want us all to see this, because this is really about all of us together. If you don't recognize, see, somebody in another town or in another church or in another ministry, they're always the greatest people in the world. Why? Because you don't know them. Every preacher poops. Everybody that works in the yard stinketh. Everybody's got faults. Everybody's got failures. The ministry that you don't know, my God, have you heard that? Have you heard the revelation? Dave always said it like this. He said, you never qualified for revival until you know the worst about people and you get past it. We have people that are of the greatest quality on planet Earth among us. And if you don't recognize that, and if you're looking, oh, if I could get to that place, those people, listen, flesh is flesh wherever it's at on the planet. Peoples is peoples. Do you understand that? Jesus said, it didn't stop him from doing miracles. Faith that would be generated from them, the expectation level was neutralized because of familiarity. They would not expect of him this because they knew him. If you come in here, I know them. If you don't receive the anointing that is among us, never lose your awe of each other, people. You can become friends, but never lose your awe of each other. I'm not just talking about me. Never lose your awe of that we're in this together as a fighting force. There's nobody better than us someplace else. If they did, they went through the same hell-breaking, demonic fights with their flesh that you went through. And every laundry part of their life had to be fought against just absolutely, just like yours, to get to, if they made it, they went through the same process. Hallelujah. Never lose your awe of the... Understand, Dave says, you know, and a lot of times people are like, I don't really want to get too involved because then I start learning people's faults and then it just breaks my heart. You haven't grown up yet. Grown-ups, no faults, and they say, but that's a man of God, that's a woman of God. Because they're fighting. They're fighting with everything inside of them. And they're going forward. I want to tell you, every single one of you in here, because you're in here this morning, I appreciate you. And you're an all to me. You're awesome. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand with me. Hallelujah. I would highly recommend, don't normally do this at the close of the service, but I was just thinking about it as I was about to close. The expectation level of us living in a world which is about to go someplace. Candy and I seen a movie the other night that I think is one of the best I've seen in 5 years, and it's Hidden Figures. And I won't tell you the punchlines, but I will tell you just what you've seen. If you've seen any advertisements, go see. It's very clean. It's wonderful. But it is people going to places that the person over them says, look, we've got to find numbers that do not exist, that do exist but don't exist, that people never thought of. And they went there. They found those. We're the technicians, if you want to put it that way, of revival. Now, you can get mad that we're not there yet. If you're mad in a good way, that's perfectly fine. But if anybody's doing it, we'll shut this place down and go join them. If they're local. If not, then we'll just call them up and find out how they're doing it. But I'm not talking about just preaching it. I'm talking about doing it. We're after it. Yes. We're doing our best. I don't know anything else, okay? But I do know this. There will come those, if we want to say it like this, there will come those technological, spiritual breakthroughs in the future. They had no idea that there was numbers. They didn't just shoot a man into outer space and bring him back. They actually had to calculate it first, figure it out, and there was brains that went past anything that anybody had ever figured out with calculus and all that stuff. And they went into realms that you and I don't even think about and figured out how the person could go into outer space and they could bring him back at a precise point on the planet Earth. Listen. That didn't exist in minds up until that point. It was impossible. Somebody broke the impossible. We are, with a lot of other sister churches and people like us on the planet, we're going to break into the impossible. Amen. We are going to see it. Yes. We're absolutely going to see it. Stay with us. Keep going forward. Hallelujah. Kill every king, even the unpopular ones. Amen. Father, we love you. We praise you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the glory, and we thank you for it. Bless now, I pray, your people, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.